We're not selling plans. We're selling a pretty much a service to design what fits you.
Welcome to the System Build Lifestyle, a special Art of Construction series dedicated to the growing world of off-site construction. Host Devin Tilley, owner of Mountain View Window and Door and founder of the Art of Construction, alongside Audrey Kubesek of Modular SureSite and Connect Home Builders, take listeners on a deep dive through this fascinating subject. Off-site construction techniques are changing the industry. Keep following the System Build Lifestyle series so you don't get left behind.
All right, Audrey, we have Jason Davis coming into the studio. We got someone who's been doing this for a while. I'm excited to talk with him and peel back the layers. I want to ask him how his process works and learn about the stigma of the modular when his name is Colorado Modular Homes. I'm curious what he has to say about that.
I agree with you. It'll be interesting because I think the process is the bigger key to your success in figuring out what you want in your lifestyle.
Awesome. Here we go. What's your favorite beverage?
It'd have to be coffee. I'm a big time coffee drinker. I can't really function without it.
Are you like a fancy coffee drinker?
No.
The latte guy or
no.
Just a plain old coffee?
Black coffee.
All right.
Yep.
There you go. Tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
That's tough. I'd say most of those places are probably right here in Colorado, which is what brought me out here in the first place. But we took a trip last year as a family to Hawaii, and that was really great. And that was a lot of fun. I wouldn't mind going back there.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Especially today when it's 16 degrees. Oh, it's been such a so mild, and it just hit us,
it seems like.
It's frozen.
And then think about the drinks and the beach, right?
Absolutely.
And it smells really good there. It's like when you get off the plane, do you notice like it just smells like tropical?
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, on our sister station, the AOC, that's what someone said. It's just like you get off the plane, it just hits you.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that that memory and that there's a lot to be said with your senses, right?
Totally. Mm-hmm.
Tell us one story from your trip. You Big Island, where'd you go?
It was the Big Island. We spent a couple of weeks there. It was overall pretty uneventful. It was a lot of fun. Just got to hang out with the family and relax. I guess the only thing noteworthy was my two girls who were 15 and 18 at the time, both got just blasted the first day in sunburn and were dealing with blisters for the first couple of days, but they made the best of it, and we ended up having a really great time.
Good.
Awesome. Yeah, there's a lot to be said about just getting away with your family. Us as small business people working hard in the trenches to get away, right?
Oh, yeah.
Go smell the roses, if you will.
Absolutely.
What's your favorite hobby or interest outside of the construction arena?
I always bite off more than I can chew with projects outside of work, but when I do have time, I like to, kind of take advantage of the outdoors. This time of year, it's skiing. Summer, I like to fish, hike, camp. So.
Audrey, the tribe you put together
right?
here,
isn't
like
the lifestyle,
talk about it,
yeah.
All these guys,
it's
like, we might need to put together a ski bus or something.
Oh,
it's like everybody,
that's a great idea.
Everybody you bring into studio.
Everyone loves skiing, right?
Yeah.
It's the culture.
Yeah. Yep. The SBL bus, here we come, right? We got to know a little bit about Jason Davis, the president at Colorado Modular Homes. We're so excited to have you come and tell us your story. What's Colorado Modular Homes all about?
So we're about custom-built homes. We specialize in modular construction that is not what you typically see. That's more customized, that's designed to fit in different communities throughout the state, designed to fit different lifestyles. We can do just about anything that people are doing on site with stick-built style construction, we're doing with modular.
Awesome. So let me just read your bio that we were given, as Jason has been involved in the construction for almost 20 years and has been at Colorado Modular Homes for the last 5 years, helping people find ways to incorporate systems built construction in their projects.
Oh,
well, system built is in the bio.
That's exciting, isn't it?
Well, Audrey, good job. You found someone that the bio matches the name of our show.
I'm telling you, he's a great guy. Gotta love it. They're so ahead of the score.
Well, I'm going to tell a story on that. I live day-to-day owning a window and door company, and we're honored to represent the Anderson family of brands. And their workhorse window has been the 400 series. It's the window that made Anderson, and it's fueled them to purchase. And I've been involved with a lot of great offshoots and just an awesome company. And I was at the dealer rally where they made a big push of saying the 400 series was not dead. And it was just basically this message to say, don't forget about what got us into this great product. And I say that story is because you have the name Modular in the name of your company. And I think there's definitely something to be said about that to say, we talk a lot on SBL about the new offside or system build, the new hype code words or whatever you want to say for really what modular is and understanding. And as I've been going to school on all these first episodes, because I raised my hand up, I was the guy that just offsite construction was something I just was not intrigued about. So tell us kind of what your sense is when you say the word modular. Do you have experiences where people may or may not reach out to you because they may be like me to where they're not interested in modular because they don't know what it is?
Absolutely. You know, there's a stigma behind modular construction. You know, people think of modular, they think, and I think I heard you say, Devin, it's you go into this factory and there's two boxes going down the line that, you know, equate to a house, and right behind it is another two boxes that look just like the ones before it. And, you know, it's fair because that still exists. You know, that's not gone. There's still a lot of big volume modular construction. What we do is a little different. We take advantage of the modular factory and that environment where you're able to build in a controlled setting. You're able to build in a predictable way. But we're doing it with custom designs. So we're not, you know, spitting out plan 2843B. We're putting together a custom design that's being built at that factory that's building that 2343B plan.
So what you're saying is basically taking advantage of the modular factory with implementing custom designs.
Exactly, yeah.
So using that offsite construction of being in a controlled environment with resources that are there versus out on the job site that can be demanding and challenging, especially in the logistics world we live in with the word people that just keeps getting harder and harder, right?
Yep.
So here's the interesting fact about Jason and Colorado Modular. I think that they've already connected the dots where we are doing as well with System Build, right? So the interesting thing is another name for their company, what they have designed is Rocky Mountain Home Builders. So tell us a little bit why you chose that name and how does that collaborate with the current business model?
So the name's not Colorado Modular Homes?
It is. but we are... Rocky Mountain Home Builders is our company name. We have a couple of brands underneath that company name, one of which is Colorado Modular Homes, which our focus is custom modular homes. The other brand is Colorado Cabin Company, which is smaller systems-built homes. But the reason for choosing Rocky Mountain Home Builders instead of, you know, Rocky Mountain Modular Homes as our main brand is because of that stigma a bit. And also there's not too much familiarity amongst just people who are looking to build a house of actual modular and what kind of the ability to build custom homes is. So it opens us up to a larger market.
And I think it's brilliant because, again, you are facing the fear of individuals, right? And once you sit down and talk with them about the process and how it all works, it really does change the whole system of how you put things together, right?
Yep.
It's overcoming that fear. So I think in that regard, I think it's really smart to have it as a home builder because technically that's really what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So getting back to your Rocky Mountain Home Builder site, actually the interesting thing is when I started actually looking up modular and I started looking up and understanding this process a little bit more, the one thing that I have to say about your website in general is the opportunity to really learn and understand and your focus on different ways of how to put it together. So, you know, when I look at your site, it's just so well done. I love that you have a catalog on there. I love that you have all these different opportunities. And when you look at the site, does that look like a modular home to you?
These aren't modular homes.
I know, right? It's crazy.
These are off-site construction homes.
They are, yes.
All right, Tribe.
You see on the side
go check
modular.
It out. If you're like me and you're saying, like, I'm looking at this picture of this beautiful, awesome window wall or these log cabins.
They're amazing.
Walkouts. So tell us how it works to see this log. This is not a 1,500 square foot HUD manufactured house. This is a modular dream.
This is custom at its finest.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So How many trucks is a typical, like these ones on your website? Walk me through this.
You know, it really depends. Every house we build is custom and every house we build is unique. You know, they range from homes that are built with, you know, one or two modules, and we've got homes that we've built with eight or nine. So it really depends on the needs of the customer are. We also have projects that sometimes are a bit of a hybrid where only 60% of the entire structure might be modular. Sometimes it's 30%. Sometimes it's 100%. So it really varies. We can be very flexible, which is what makes us unique, which is also why you're noticing that our houses don't look like modular homes.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So to make sure we bring this full circle, it started as Colorado Modular Homes. That was the original brand, right?
Yes, it is, yeah.
And then through the evolution, as us here on SBL trying to build out where we came from and where we're going, you created Rocky Mountain Home Builders, which is the exact same website, basically, just with a different name to help guide people through the buyer's journey. And then the Colorado Cabins is for someone that just wants a cabin, but they don't realize, again, the modular. So you're mm-hmm. taking these focuses, which is really all the same company, but you had to be creative because of the stigma of the industry.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Which is really interesting because even when you look at the cabins, it's like, yeah, I want one of those. I want to be there, you know?
Yeah.
And speaking with Jason, a lot of his clients are mountain home, second home buyers. You know, they're looking for something creative, something new. A lot of them are in different subdivisions and stuff like Snowmass or let's say Keystone. It's really defining when you look at this. Plus, what's the benefit of building a home like this in the mountains?
Well, it's some of these sites are really difficult to get to, or they're in an area where labor's really expensive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're in the Vail Valley, a plumber or a carpenter is going to charge you four times what you're getting in Denver, just because the type of construction that's happening there is a lot higher end.
And it's a little bit limited trade base, right?
There's
just not like a lot of people that actually live there.
Which is the case everywhere right now, but it's compounded in those areas.
Sure.
And a shorter cycle. You got more elements to deal with.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a very tight window to build in. And if you're building off-site in a controlled environment, it doesn't much matter.
Mm-hmm. So the time frame to build is different, right? You can get your house a little bit faster, possibly, and it doesn't really matter when you deliver the home because you're able to actually have it all complete on site.
Yeah.
So on your website, you say request a catalog. What is the catalog of the journey to give the cliff notes of you have a needs analysis like we all do to get their basic information, what they're looking for? Put me on the journey. I'm intrigued. I want to learn more.
Sure. So the catalog is just kind of a showcase of some of the stuff we've built in the past. It's not really, you know, again, we're not selling plans. We're selling pretty much a service to design what fits you.
You're selling a lifestyle.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
A systems-built lifestyle.
That's right. Nice.
Bam.
I don't think we paid him for that one, did we? That was awesome.
Given you a get, my friend. Given you a get.
We'll also talk in our catalog and our other marketing material a lot about our design process, because that's another thing that really defines us, is we have a structured process that we've spent a lot of time refining, and it works really well. It's a four-stage process. We call it the road home, and it takes people from an initial floor plan all the way through all of the documents needed to be able to go to construction, and it does it in a very streamlined way. Similar to modular construction, it's very orderly. We've got a roadmap to how it's done, and it's timely and efficient, and our customers really love it.
Well, we have a little bit of time here. Take me on the road home journey. Tell me what those four steps are.
So the way it works is in the first stage of the process, we're basically creating that ball of clay that's going to become the house. We lay things out, in an architectural floor plan and get general ideas of what finishes people are going to want, what type of site-built elements they're going to want on their house.
And you have a design center for this, like
we
with
do.
A show home and a...
Absolutely, yeah.
Homes.
We have a design center, a show home. Our offices are all in one convenient location right off the highway in Evergreen off I-70. After stage one is complete, we'll have a set of plans. We'll have updated pricing, which is another great benefit of modular construction, is you have visibility to pricing all the way through the process. So as opposed to stick-built construction where you hire an architect and have all these plans put together and don't find out until the very, very end what they're going to cost, we're able to understand a lot of the cost while we're designing.
That's a huge benefit. I mean, mm-hmm. just think about that. Being able to actually walk through numbers and see it and really plan your budget and applying for a construction loan, that's got to be a great, valuable tool.
Well, two things I always say on the art of construction is two things we don't have enough of is time and money. And the more you go through life, it's time is really that most valuable thing. But the more time it takes, the more money it costs, right?
Yep.
So that's what it's all about. And that's what it really intrigues me as an informational entrepreneur is to say, to pull this information to work smarter, not harder. And how can we all work together? And I like how you said sometimes you're not doing the whole thing as an offsite construction. You're collaborating and working on what that site and what that ball of clay can mold into, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So then you go through the numbers.
And at that point, we make some adjustments. We move into stage two,
okay,
where we're really kind of getting into the design of the house. We're locking down locations of windows and doors. Devin, I'm sure that would interest you.
Yeah.
We spend a lot of time on that.
Man, he's coming back.
Just kind of refining what we did in stage one. We're also starting to talk more about finishes, what types of finishes we're going to use, not necessarily colors and brands and things like that. But every step of the way, we're getting closer to a finish goal. But what's critical about our design process is that it's in some ways rigid. We're not in stage one talking about what kind of countertops we're going to have. In stage two, we're not talking about the color of the tile that's reserved for stage three and so on. And what it does is it keeps us on track to be able to get a house designed without becoming distracted.
So stage one is the ball of clay, the design, mm-hmm. the numbers, the 30,000-foot right. view, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But it's actually controlled that you can control it pretty precisely and quickly because mm-hmm. of the system. Step two is, if I'm hearing you right, is kind of the refining of the shell, like the of closing it in, like you mentioned, windows and doors and those.
Yeah,
elements.
All the structural
the site
things. Yep.
And the beams and all those kinds of mm-hmm. things. Okay.
When we get to stage three, we start to get, you know, really into the weeds, and we're looking at interior finishes. We're looking at details on the exterior, like beam work, things like that. At this point, we're spending a lot of time looking at details, electrical layout, switches, outlets, things like that. At the completion of stage three, we'll have a really good idea of where the costs lie in this project and be able to make decisions before finalizing the design, what's most important, because most of our clients and probably all of our clients don't have unlimited funds and need to make decisions based on cost. And
everybody
at this point,
has a budget.
Yeah.
Different levels.
Yeah, absolutely. And we can look at that point before the design is completed to see if there's any areas where we'd like to maybe reduce something to be able to spend a little more on something else and determine what's more important. Is it the master suite or is it the kitchen? You know, and we can kind of shuffle things around because we have that visibility to cost.
And from your needs analysis, step one, there are customers of yours at step one before you go to step two. Is that accurate?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay,
yeah.
So they've contracted you to build their home with that price at step one and you've laid out the budget. Now they can go to these countertops or this tile and upgrades down to step three, but that's up from the baseline that you must have some kind of software system that you work off.
Yeah, so we have a really good database of historic numbers, and we also have access to pricing from the factories that we build with, so we're able to, as we go through the design process, update in fairly quick order what the costs are going to be based on the decisions that our clients are making or based on what we're finding, say, on a survey or a soils test that's being done on their property.
So generally, what is the time frame? I mean, what is the quickest that you've seen in this process happen and what is the lengthiest?
So, you know, it the quickest would probably be about 2 months.
Okay.
That's about the fastest you can possibly design a house and do it well. I'd say on average, you're probably looking at about 3 months from the time we sign a design contract till the time we have plans that are buildable. There are situations, though, where that can take longer, especially if we have unusual site conditions. If, you know, there are some pretty tough sites in the mountains, and that right. can add time.
Very expensive soils and curing yep. and all that other good stuff.
And getting the parts there, right? Isn't that a big
absolutely.
Deal?
Yeah. It can be tough. And weather can slow down the design, too, if you're waiting on third-party contractors to get out to the site to take samples or to do surveys, things like that. Another big factor would be HOAs.
Yeah.
Because they like to get involved in the design of your home if you are in an HOA community, and that can slow things down too because they like to be...
They have design requirements. Yeah. They have specifications about how they want that house to be looking in that subdivision.
And doing a lot of mountain communities where you're shared plowing, and you have a lot of those out mm-hmm. there because second homes and stuff where it's a big draw to be in a place like that to share those resources.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So step four
is just kind of a finalization. It's basically putting together a package that can go to the county or local jurisdiction, to their building department, to be able to get that ball rolling, putting together the order for the home at the factory, and starting to get all those pieces together to be able to kick it off to production.
There you go. I love a man with
Doesn't
a system.
That take fast? That's awesome, right?
Yeah. So... I'm interested on those steps as a potential client. Do you kind of have those labeled in your showroom? Is there a showroom experience? Because it just hit me where I'm a Colorado guy going up to Breckenridge. This is up on the left when you're going up I-70,
yes.
and it's that big log home there.
Yep.
You see all that glass
Isn't
there.
Isn't it funny that you know
yeah.
that after
those
you
are,
think about
it? Those are Anderson 400 series windows.
Awesome. There you go.
That's a good deal right there.
There you go. Hopefully we helped you with that. I don't know. That's the downfall of now where I become this micro-influencer where I have trust advisors all over the place and someone will be like, Devin, we love our windows. I'm like, great. That means we must have sold that one.
Yeah,
it's totally. It's a challenge, but it's part of the gig,
it's
I guess.
It's a blessing as well.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time and telling us those steps. Before step 1 through 4, tell us what makes someone that's really the ideal customer for a modular home.
So when people come to us, most times they have a piece of land they'd like to build a custom home on, and that's where we can really help. It can be a pretty daunting process trying to figure out what's possible on a particular piece of land or what the cost might look like. So that's something that we will help somebody who's...
You have to have somewhere to build the house?
Yeah, that's one of those. It's pretty critical.
It's funny, though. I've heard that as I've been going to system build school, a lot of people are saying, like, you wouldn't believe how many people want to talk to us, and they have zero plan. They
right.
don't even
yeah.
know. They don't
yeah.
even know where this is going to
is.
Be,
Where's
let alone
yeah.
having a piece of land.
Mm-hmm.
And so back to our needs analysis to challenge you, SBL tribe, you better ask that question, find out where this thing's going to be. And if they don't have the land, what are they doing to get the land? And if they don't have any money and they don't know where it's going,
right.
you might not want to go through step 1 through 4.
No, it wouldn't make a lot of sense. We do have a lot of people that come to us that don't own land. There is, I'd say, probably half the people that find their way to our showroom don't necessarily have land. And that's something we can also help with. We're not a realtor. We don't inventory land, we don't sell land, but it can be a pretty daunting process for somebody trying to figure out what's a good spot to build. There's a lot of sites out there that are like cliffs. There's a lot of sites that are really difficult to build, and they might be cheap, but they're not going to be cheap to build on. So that's also something that we can kind of help people navigate. If they're looking for land, we can give them some thoughts as to, on this particular piece of land, this house might cost X, or on this one down the street, it's going to cost considerably more.
So that's interesting, because at Modular Sure Site, my company, the first thing I always ask them, land first, right? The next one is, do you have a survey or a plot map of your land? And then the third one is getting a soils report, because the soils report really is indicative of what the soils conditions are for excavation and foundation. So that's a key component, especially with building anything.
And it's a key component to where the whole world of construction's going. Like, Audrey, you worked for several custom home builders over your career and found that this this that is now this niche, or, you know, modular's not dead. It's just kind of been this thing that a lot of people don't even want to look at. Mm-hmm. And what I'm getting at by that is that you found a niche to create a great business of making foundations to have components come to that. So you can be a partner. So if you're relook at what your business is today and where you could bring value to the future, right?
Absolutely. I think it's all about looking at where their opportunities lie and how you can partner with someone to connect and make that business a little bit more viable in the marketplace, especially in Colorado, not even just in Colorado. I mean, we were just talking with a client this morning that is in Dallas. Dallas is booming. I mean, every single marketplace that's major city running, it seems like there's so much building going on. Yeah. So I really think partnering and figuring that out. And that's why, you know, with System Build, I think it's so expansive, and it's just an education and being able to have an opportunity of doing something offsite than onsite. You know, everybody has different preferences. This isn't for everyone. It's just another idea to know that there's an opportunity where you can do this.
Awesome. Well, I want to ask a couple more questions that since we've had someone that's in the studio that's done this for a little while, that we ask these questions quite regularly over on our sister station, The Art of Construction. What's the most unique project that you've done as of late?
You know, like I mentioned, every project's unique. Some more so than others. You know, that's a really great question. We just recently did a house in the mountain areas just west of Denver, where the building site was only accessible by a Forest Service road, which is not really a road at all. And
it's a trail.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was pretty brutal. And we had to take this house, a very simple house that would normally be built in two modules, and we had to build it in four to make them small enough to be able to get up this road. And the trucks weren't able to make it up the road, so we'd had to employ other types of machinery. We had front loaders, and it was quite an experience. That was really cool. That was probably, you know, if there's one that stands out in the last several months, I'd say that would be it.
And so how do you analyze to break it down from four to two pods? It's based on the piece of equipment?
Well, in this case, it was just access and turns and corners and things like that, because that's always a consideration when you're having to ship these giant 40,000-pound sections of homes is what's going to make it there. Gotcha. You know?
So it's a lot of symmetry there, as me owning a window and door company. We're always talking about, what's the right size of window system that you can lift and move and put into a truck? So the window term of mulling or attaching mm-hmm. systems together is something we put a lot of energy in at Mountain View Window and Door, is to figure out how and when and who and what mulls it together so that it works properly. It's the same of you, of how many pods and how big, and obviously the less amount of pods, the less amount of stitching and assembling in
right.
the field. So you're doing kind of the same thing in a grandiose effect. Is that mm-hmm. a fair assessment?
Absolutely, yeah. What you call mulling, we call stitching. Mm-hmm. It's real similar, and it's interesting you bring that up, because there's not just in windows, but in a lot of components you find in a house, they were once stick-built. You know, windows used to be built on-site on a house.
Yes.
They'd build the frame with one-bys, they'd build the sashes out and glaze them in place, which today would seem crazy. Like, why would you do that?
Yep.
The same with cabinets. You know, they were built in place as well. Now you just buy modular cabinets and you put them together in a kitchen.
I absolutely love it. That is such a good evolution, because that's where Anderson has these great archives. I'm working with them. They have this huge archives of, you know, they've 110-year-old company. They're on the St. Croix River. And they were the first, this big advertising campaign of, first it was sashes, meaning that's how they started, by just making the sash. That's why an old house is all old windows, that you have all this great millwork, because it's all done on site. And then you have these sashes the millwork guy now just didn't have to make the sashes. And then Anderson was the first to make jam packs. So they took the sash and then they made the four pieces of wood that was a jam pack. So now you could put that together to where now today we have the glass house that the window supplier is trying to say, well, you still need to hold it up with structure and, you know, all those other components. Mm-hmm. So that's a great analogy that I'm going to go to Anderson and get some archive pictures and put them in the show notes. And maybe we could show Krusty Contractor and Krusty Supplier the evolution to modular.
And that's so great that you make that analogy, because really there are so many components of building that are really system built,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, it's the same dialogue as to how everything is performed and done these days.
So the most unique, and I'm not going to let you do the answer that a lot of people do on AOC, where they just say, well, that was also the most challenging because getting it there. What was the most challenging thing on a project that came to mind?
There's always challenges. You know, every project is a challenge in its own unique way. I'd say the biggest challenges are getting these modules to the site. You know, we're building in difficult areas. We're building in mountain areas, and we're delivering enormous components to these sites. There was one we did a couple of years ago. I think it was a 4-piece house that we were delivering, and we had a trailer run off the road that was hauling one of these sections.
Whoa.
And yeah, and that was probably the most harrowing experience I've had. And we were able to get it back together. It involved a lot of people, a lot of machinery, but you know, that would probably be the biggest challenge I've ever faced, like in the field.
Which is to get over the fear when I say, like, yeah, it can be done in a factory and out of all these great sales points, but yet then you got to get it to the site versus just having the lumberyard dump a pile of lumber and put it together. So I think that's the fear that we're getting over. But correct me if I'm wrong, you see the value of having those systems, getting over that fear of the pods or mm-hmm. the sections is worth that risk.
Absolutely. And in the end, it is pretty daunting to do this, but the thrill that the customer gets to experience when their house arrives and it's built essentially in a day is pretty incredible.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, thanks for coming in and tell us your story. We always, as the learning organization here on SBL, we always like to say, from the conversation we had today, if there's one thing you can leave our listening audience with to grow their business or check out the SBL lifestyle, you're on the pedestal. Let us know what that one thing that comes to mind.
I would say, you know, be creative, be forward-thinking. Don't get too hung up on past instances where things didn't work out, and always try to move forward and do something new and interesting.
What a great word. That's what we're trying to do here on SBL. Thanks so much for coming and telling us your story.
You're welcome.
Man, Audrey, you are getting the superstars in to tell us their story. We are going to school. I shouldn't say we. You're the modular unicorn, but you're putting me through school, and hopefully our tribe is getting a lot of good information out of this.
It's so interesting. When you start looking at construction, there are so many things that are system built.
And it didn't even hit me until this show, and I live it day in, day out, and I tell
and
the story about Anderson, about how they were the first to make the Fibrex product. But way before back, they were the first to make a sash and a jam pack and all those things that they still use as marketing tools today, that his upgrade window is Anderson Windows in his house that comes through the different manufacturers that he uses. So it's our job as micro-influencers to help take these big consumer brands, but also put our pockets into where it's beneficial to help people make their house a home. And it's all about systems to make that happen, wouldn't you say?
I would. I would say it's systems and processes, without a doubt.
System build lifestyle. We're rocking it, huh?